Blog Talk Radio.
It's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I want to welcome all our guests and Doc, Miss Linda, Rod, folks in our chat room. Tonight I want to start off with something that hits really close to home and has got me very pissed off, to say the very least. And I'm sorry that I wasn't more engaged in the chat room, but I was in an emergency mode, digging through the archives on Patriot Families to kind of preface the story that I'm going to bring you next. Back in October of 2010, I wrote a blog, and that blog was "The Cost of Buying a State Lawmaker Just Went Up in Georgia." I was a registered lobbyist in 2009 here in the state of Georgia and a citizen lobbyist. And it started out as a small group. It actually started out as one woman, and it ballooned into over 179 registered citizen lobbyists. We weren't lobbyists for Georgia Power or some big company or corporation. We were lobbyists for the average citizens going in, and we sat in at every committee hearing on every bill they proposed to ask questions about why they were attempting to transgress the rights and property of the people, the citizens of Georgia. And evidently, they didn't like that much. So much so that the Speaker of House of the House here in Georgia, Mr. David Ralston, proposed a bill to the Ethics Committee. And I find it rather ironic that all the have to register through the Ethics Committee. So you have to go through the Ethics Committee before you can legally bribe your state representative, congressman, or district rep. Nonetheless, in 2010, they changed the law and required that all lobbyists would have to pay $300 to register to become a lobbyist. And they also upped the fees if you were late on your report due to changes in campaign finance law in the 2010 legislative session. Lobbyists will begin in 2011 to pay fees for annual registration. Each person registering as a lobbyist or renewing their registration fee, annual lobbyist registration is now $300. Lobbyist supplemental registration, $10 each. An identification card will cost you another $20. Then it goes into if you're late filing your report and the assembly is not in session, it's going to be a $275 fine. In addition to a $1,000 fine on the 15th day after the due date for your report, and a late fee of $10,000 if you're 45 days behind. These reports are ridiculous, okay? Especially for someone who is not lobbying to make money, but they're lobbying to make a difference. So they changed the rules because they were feeling the heat. And then today, on my way to work, I hear on the radio Speaker Ralston trying to defend his latest bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this latest bill proposed by Mr. Ralston, our Speaker of the House here in Georgia, is nothing short of sedition. Now, I also got a letter from Ron Paul's Campaign for Liberty on this very topic. So I want to share with you the letter that I got from Campaign for Liberty. "Dear Ronald, one of the cornerstones of free speech and civilized society is that government must recognize each individual's God-given right to speak freely. And in order for our constitutional republic to survive, the law must respect each citizen's God-given right to seek a redress of their grievances with their government. That is how we, the people, provide a check on the powers of government. Naturally, the Constitution of the State of Georgia provides protections for both of these fundamental rights. However, six Georgia politicians are pushing House Bill 142, a bill that would rip to shred the protections of our Constitution and destroy grassroots activism. HB 142 would classify any person speaking to elected officials as lobbyists and require them to pay a $300 fee for the privilege. That means if you want to complain to your local school board, your city council, or a public hearing at the Capitol, these six politicians are demanding that you either pay up or shut up. Further, as a lobbyist, you would be subjected to all of the onerous and confusing reporting requirements that paid lobbyists are made to suffer under. And if you fail to follow these bureaucratic procedures perfectly, you could be fined over $10,000. Well, that's absolutely correct. The bill also allows politicians to pick and appoint certain special people who can lobby officials without having to follow the same rules as normal citizens like you and me. You're absolutely right, Rod. This harkens back to the good old days when the first black congressional caucus was formed back in the 1870s during the Reconstruction Acts, when a group of black politicians in the South in Florida got together and complained that they weren't being paid as high a bribe amount as their white counterparts. And wouldn't you know, way back then, the going rate to buy a vote was $300. You know, the more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. House Bill 142 was introduced by Speaker David Ralston along with Representatives Larry O'Neill, Calvin Smyer, Jan Jones, Edward Lindsay, and Richard Smith. The bill states that no public official with, quote, actual knowledge may accept gifts from lobbyists. The term actual knowledge has specific legal meaning, and this bill would allow politicians to accept unlimited gifts and simply claim they didn't know who it came from. Guys, this is beyond the pale of ridiculous. It is infuriating. And I can assure you that everyone on my list that lives in the state of Georgia is going to be getting an email prompting them to call Speaker Ralston and the other aforementioned criminals and put their feet to the fire, as well as calling their own representatives and telling them this damn bill should never make it out of committee. It ought to be killed, and Ralston ought to be stripped of his chairmanship for even proposing such an idiocy. But it's no surprise. It really isn't, or at least it shouldn't be, if we see the writing on the wall all the way back in 2010 when I wrote that blog in October, and interestingly enough, that came just before the primary elections that occur in November. We all remember those. These people are out of control. You're having so much smoke blown up your proverbial tailpipe that you ought to think that your boxers are on fire, or at least your derriere, if you don't wear boxers or briefs or whatever. You may be going commando, don't want to know. All the same, it's out of control. It's absolutely out of control. Meanwhile, we have gun incidences occurring all around the country. Too much information, Miss Linda, but I'll take your word for it. I think Rod Luke just passed out. I guess the question is, going back to what I've been spouting, shouting, yelling, and screaming, blogging about since I started on Patriot Families, when are the people going to decide that the government has finally crossed a line that we're not willing to allow? When are we going to say enough is enough, to hell with you guys, we're not putting up with this crap? Honest to God, I've got another email I've got to read you, and you know, this is one of those urban legend things perhaps, but I don't doubt for a moment that it's true. There's no way that I think that this is over the top, if you will. I don't doubt the validity of this email whatsoever. Oh, that is the wrong one. Bear with me. The New American Way is the title of this. And this, This ought to just really frost your cakes, boys and girls. Okay, this is from a realtor, or allegedly from a realtor, in Pontiac, Michigan. So, the gentleman starts out, as a realtor for the past 28 years, I thought I'd seen or heard it all, until now. I was showing a home in Pontiac, Michigan one afternoon recently and showed up at the home at the appropriate 4 p.m. designated appointment time. After I woke up the homeowner, she let us in and proceeded to tell my buyers and I that she has already entered into a contract to sell the house on a short sale. Now, a short sale is where the bank agrees to take less money than is owed on the home. After some chit-chat, she proceeded to tell us that her and her sister, who also lived in the area, were purchasing each other's homes via the short sale process. I mentioned to her that I thought relatives could not be involved in those types of transactions. She smiled and said, "We have two different last names, so no one knows the difference." She went on to tell us that each of them owed over $100,000 on their homes and were in the process of buying one another's houses for $10,000 and $15,000 respectively. To top it off, they were each receiving $3,000 in government-provided relocation assistance after their closing. My buyers and I were amazed that she was outright admitting to fraud, and yet she continued. She began to tell us that the best part of her scheme was that because they were currently not working, that they, both her and her sister, are now receiving Section 8 vouchers. I voiced my concern that the vouchers were for renters, and she said that is the best part of all of it. Me and my sister are going to be renting each other's homes so that we don't even have to move. So let's get this straight. She's selling her house to her sister on a short sale, and her sister is doing the same to her. And rather than move, they're now going to be landlords and rent each other their prospective houses, and they're going to be collecting, you got it, $800 a month on a Section 8 voucher to pay to their sister for renting their own home. Now, guys, this is but scratching the surface of what the hell is wrong with the United States of America. Yeah. It ought, yeah, you're absolutely right, Doc. They probably have Obama phones as well. I mean, what a great scam. You know, it's great work if you can get it, I guess. You just have to have no conscience, no integrity, no honor, and no respect. So the question becomes, again, when are we going to stop paying for all of this? When are we going to say, enough? The country's already broke. The government has already placed you and your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren into perpetual debt. Laughingly so, but nonetheless, legally, debt. And they're working very diligently to shut down what little remains of the gun industry in this country. And I hate to crank up the tinfoil hat, but my God, of late, I feel like I need to buy stock in Alcoa or Reynolds Wrap and just wrap my whole damn house in tinfoil. We've had several people that are very influential in the gun community turn up dead of late. The most recent of which, I'm sure you guys are aware, Chris Kyle. I announced on Mikey B's show, The Hot Seat, on Saturday that came across the wire during the show that Chris Kyle had been murdered at a gun range in Texas. I've also seen a couple of blogs, people very pissed off at Dr. Ron Paul for his tweet and I think it's been taken largely out of context, but what Dr. Paul tweeted was that the death of Mr. Kyle certainly seems to give credibility to the idea that those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. End quote. Then he followed that up with, treating PTSD at a gun range makes no sense. End quote. A lot of people were very pissed. I happen to know that Dr. Paul has been a staunch advocate for decades for our veterans. And I think what he was trying to point out is that we discard our veterans, by and large, when they get home. And the gentleman or the individual that committed the murder of Mr. Kyle and his colleague was also a U.S. Army military man who'd done a couple of tours in Iraq. And who knows his motivation, but I would be willing to bet that he had received some kind of treatment for PTSD, probably being prescribed some kind of psychotropic drug along the lines of Paxil or Wellbutrin or one of the others, an antidepressant. And there's no doubt that this story, along with the myriad of others that have come before it, is going to be another talking point in the national emergency to ban firearms, and particularly those evil rifles that look scary because they have certain attributes that make them more frightening than the average deer gun. I think I can take a breath now. You know, it's absolute lunacy what's going on in this country, and it just seems to be snowballing with no end in sight. You've got the Rogue Gallery. Yeah, I saw that. They got the guy out of the bunker that was holding on to the five-year-old. And yes, there are those nuts out there. I mean, let's be honest. We're not a society of perfection. There are going to be those people that are just got a screw loose no matter what. And we're just not simply going to make that go away by writing words on a piece of paper. It's not going to happen. I pointed out to several people on several different blogs. I've written a couple of emails. Every one of these individuals in the Aurora theater shooting, in the Columbine incident, in the Connecticut school shooting, in every one of these instances, there is nothing in the actions of the individuals that carried out these shootings, nothing in their behavior and actions were legal. Right? They weren't doing anything that was legal. Everything they did, every action they undertook in going into those public places with the intent of murdering people is illegal. So the very idea that passing another law is going to resolve the problem is lunacy. Every bit as stupid and ignorant as believing that passing new immigration laws is going to resolve the current immigration problem. We had amnesty back when we had Reagan in office, and what happened? We see the result today. Now, granted, today's result is not a result of the amnesty itself. It is a result of Congress and the executive branch failing to enforce the laws that are on our books. They have been derelict in their duties. They have failed to fulfill the obligation of their oath of office. What the hell is wrong with us that we continue to allow these jackasses to not do their job? If this was one of my employees who worked for me in the business that I am given the responsibility to manage, they would have been fired, terminated, no longer employed, period, end of conversation. And yet, We just keep electing these jackasses. Nobody is demanding that anyone be held responsible or accountable. The bureaucracy has gotten so large that there is zero accountability. Not even taking into consideration Operation Linebacker, Operation Gunrunner, Operation Benghazi Gate, and all of the other myriad of absolute, utter failures that have come out of this government under every administration for the last 100-plus years. I mean, we can't be so narrow-minded and short-sighted as to only look at the current administration. Yes, that is currently what we focus on because it is the source of much aggravation. But let us not forget that this is not something new. And I think most of the folks listening to the sound of my voice recognize at this point that it doesn't matter if they've got a D or an R next to their name, they've all got a bunch of jackasses. And on that note, I believe we have Mr. Robert on the line with us. Robert, how are you, sir?
I concur. I'm doing fine.
And I'm not insinuating that you're a jackass by any means.
Well, a lot of people call me worse.
Well, I'm sure that that's probably true. I'm positive I've been called worse. In fact, I'm certain of it.
Oh, my Lord. I listen to all this stuff on. You know, I went through the motions, right, to protect myself. And have you ever heard of the gun called the Judge?
Yes.
Boy, what a beautiful gun.
It is. That fires a 410 shotgun shell or a 45 long Colt, or you can get it in a 454 Casull. They also have the Circuit Judge, which I really like.
That was the good news. The bad news is, you know, the guy that I went down there with the high school with me, right?
Uh-huh.
He goes, Robert, I'm giving you this guy's card, and I want you to go through the process of getting the concealed weapons license and call it a day. You learn how to shoot first. That's what he advised me to do. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, good. I am glad to hear that. Now, I will admonish you to be very careful in the state of Florida. Florida has some very whacked out ideas when it comes to concealed carry. And I just finished watching not long ago a YouTube video of a gentleman that was pulled over in a traffic stop in Florida. The guy has a concealed carry permit. In Florida, you are not allowed to open carry. And in fact, if you are carrying concealed in such a manner that it's obvious that you're concealed carry, you're in violation of the law.
Yeah, I know.
The guy it was in Citrus County. The guy gets stopped by a cop because his tag is expired. He gets out of the vehicle. The cop asks him for his driver's license. He says, sure. He pulls his wallet out, gets the license out, asks him about his tag. He said, I've got the thing in the van, in my truck. I just hadn't put it on the back yet. He reaches in to get it, and the cop saw that he was carrying and went ballistic. Tells the guy to get the F on the ground or he's going to shoot him in the F and back, and just goes nuts. And then after he's got him handcuffed, asks him, why do you have a gun? Now, if I'm the guy driving the van, I'd say, well, why the hell do you have one?
Wow.
I mean, you're sitting here with a gun pointed at me asking me why I've got a gun. Well, I've got one for the same reason you do, because some jerk-off is liable to come along and stick a gun in my face and threaten to shoot me in the back. It was ridiculous. The guy ended up, the district attorney refused to prosecute, And the cop should have been fired, and I hope that he is. He ought to be working at Dunkin' Donuts right about now.
Wow. That is too, that is totally, you know, they're just...
You know, even when you try to do the right thing and follow all their stupid laws and jump through all their stupid little flaming hoops, you get some jackass with a badge that thinks he's God. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but that kind of guy, he shouldn't be a cop. He has no business being a cop.
Yeah, we had a police officer like that in this town.
You know, well, Doc just asked a good point. Aren't you required to tell a police officer you're carrying if you're pulled over? No, you are not. The law says that unless, if the officer asks, are you armed? Yes, you are obligated to inform him. Yes, I am. It's on my right hip. Tell him what condition the weapon's in. I'm in condition one, meaning I've got a round in the chamber, the hammer's back, and the gun is on safety. That is common courtesy. If the officer doesn't ask, you're under no obligation to tell him. For Christ's sakes, he's carrying a gun on his hip. Right? Now, I have also seen here in the state of Georgia where a young man was pulled over by an officer, asked to exit the vehicle. He voluntarily told the officer, I am concealed carrying. I have a permit. The cop went nuts. They had him on the ground, searched his car. If he'd have just kept his mouth shut and said nothing, the cop wouldn't have known. He never asked. The guy volunteered. I actually had that happen to one of my employees when I was working in Marietta. He was concealed carrying. He had two guns in the car. And he told the officer, I have a gun in the car. I thought it was taking a long time for him because I saw him pull in the parking lot. I walked around back, and the cops got him sprawled out on the ground, and I'm like, what's the problem?
Well, they're just, you know, because why he asked me the question, why now after all these years, he asked me, right?
Right.
And I said to him, well, this summer, I've been having problems with people breaking into my home and taking care of, you know, I have been helping Leonie take care of this, you know, cerebral palsy patient, and you know, I need to protect myself. He says, then he goes, and you know, it's going to get worse, he says.
Yes, sir, I believe that is true.
He says it's going to get worse.
And you know, the sad thing is, and I want to put this out there for everyone right now. The latest brouhaha over all these shootings and all of the tongue wagging about, you know, having a gun ban, assault weapons ban, all these other things, all this crazy talk, has pushed a humongous number of people to go out and get weapons, to buy weapons, and to apply for a weapons license. Okay? And I think the consequences of that, we've already seen a couple of times here in Georgia, where two people have been killed at a gun range, either by accident or on purpose, killing themselves. I think we're going to see a lot more accidents occur because you're going to have a lot more people going to gun ranges who don't know anything about weapons, who have no experience with weapons, and out of fear, you know, they've gone out and bought these weapons and they're not seeking any kind of training or any kind of understanding of firearms.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big mistake to do, because if you're not sure if you can handle one, you most certainly should not buy one.
Well, I wouldn't say you most certainly shouldn't buy one, but I would say that if you're planning on owning a weapon, the very first thing you need to do is get some kind of training. there's a lot of wannabe Rambos running around out there that don't know the first daggum thing about weapons safety. And that is the first and foremost, that is the most paramount thing. Because not only do you endanger yourself, but you endanger others when you do foolish things with a weapon because you're not using your head.
Exactly.
And I can't stress that enough. And Obama and all of the gun grabbers out there, are that blood is on their hands because they're the ones that are driving this hysteria.
I liked it when I saw the picture of him doing rifle skeet shooting.
Well, I had to Photoshop that. In the picture I have, he has an AK-47. So.
Ron. He just made my day.
But you know, and I want to point something else out. on one of the forums that I'm on, a lot of the folks on there have Barney Fife as their avatar. And I'm sure most of us here are old enough to remember the Andy Griffith Show and good old Barney.
Oh, yeah, one bullet.
Why?
Why
would they only give him one bullet? Do you understand what that television program was trying to tell you?
It was telling me that Barney wasn't too swift to carry a gun, even though he was deputized, and that's why the sheriff basically Andy chastised him with the one bullet.
Well, what kind of gun did Andy carry?
He didn't carry a gun.
So here you have the sheriff, and he doesn't carry a gun. Why not? Well, because guns are unnecessary, and guns are dangerous, and even a sworn deputy is just a bumbling boob, and, you know, he's so hot to have a doggone gun, we can make sure to protect everybody by only giving him one bullet. So you think about that. You think about that in the little Andy Griffith Show, and way back then, they were pushing the idea of gun control.
The moral of the story is dumb people should not have guns.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it's difficult to have a litmus test for stupid people. But, you know, a lot of them end up shooting themselves. There's a really great video of a police officer. I don't remember what state it was in. He was doing a demonstration for a class of middle school children, waving his Glock around, telling them he was the only one that was qualified to handle that weapon. And as he went to holster it, he shot himself in the foot. Okay?
Ouch.
Stupidity should be painful.
Yep.
But I believe we have Miss Linda on the line. Miss Linda, how are you?
Fine. How are you guys doing? Hello, Ron and everybody. Yeah, I know. You know, I was just thinking about when, you know, Mark Levin talks about soft tyranny in our country. Well, have you ever gone into your computer and it says, you know, those little bars where you can move it, where you have volume or you have security, and it says low, medium, and high? So you have to replace the top and the bottom with iron fist on the top and soft on the bottom and meat in the middle. I think we're inching somewhere in the range of between medium and iron fist of tyranny right now. Soft tyranny, my backside. This is getting ridiculous.
It's certainly ramping up, for lack of a better term.
And I was chatting on an email with Mikey B, and I said, how far down this road to tyranny are we? Are we at Lexington and Concord already? He says, yeah, I think we're already there. He says, I don't trust the court, which means he's going out in a blaze of glory if they try to take his gun.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with someone a while back on a blog, and the gentleman was ignorantly stating that the Supreme Court is the final say over what's law and what's not. And I said, no, you're just dead wrong. And there is such a thing in this country as jury nullification. And that means that we, the people, when we're impaneled on a jury, we get to decide if the law is applicable on a case-by-case basis. That's called common law. Okay,
right.
And it uses the application of common sense. And it doesn't matter what the damn Supreme Court says about law X, Y, or Z in a jury trial situation. If the jury determines that the law is not applicable, then they overturn the law by ruling not guilty. It's just that damn simple. The problem that we face is not necessarily the courts. It's not necessarily Congress. It is an uninformed, ill-informed, misinformed,
yep.
ignorant populace.
Body politic. Yeah. That's quite apparent. I mean, when you have 70% of the population that does not know that the Constitution was meant to be the supreme law of the land, we're in trouble. Yeah. Pretty bad. I just can't understand it, except, I mean, intellectually I do, but emotionally it's very hard, you know, that we have a reality that they have done very well with their dumbing down through the education system for 80 to 90 years.
Well, they certainly have.
Yeah, they've done it.
It's called the age of the New Republic.
And you know, to me, the irony of my debate with this guy was, he's an atheist, self-proclaimed atheist.
Oh, boy.
And what's funny, in a way, is that here is this guy who's an atheist, who says that the Constitution is purely secular, and that it is the law of the land. And I corrected him and said, well, the Constitution in and of itself may well be secular, but the basis for writing the Constitution, the motivation, the foundation upon which the Constitution rests is not secular at all.
Yes,
it rests upon the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable or unalienable rights.
Did you explain to him that the Declaration and the Constitution are inextricably connected?
Well, you know, he tried to validate, as I've had so many people do, that the Declaration of Independence is not law. I said, well, you're right. It's more important than that. It's the foundation on which the law rests. It is the cornerstone of the law. It is what gives breath of life to the law itself. Because if we remove, ladies and gentlemen, the very concept that man is created and has rights that transcend the collective, that transcend any government.
Right, and pieces
then
of paper.
Then we are nothing more than slaves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That is exactly why they push so damn hard to exclude God out of everything that has even the remotest semblance of public.
Well, of course, because you can't control people if they have a higher authority. And once you've done, I mean, all of these, you can go from the philosopher kings, the Fabian socialists, the eugenics crowd, the communists. Of course they have to remove. And, of course, these philosopher kings of late, which is the eugenics program, is back on fire, you know, along with Agenda 21. Believe me, if you just heard the latest speech of Al Gore, blow your mind. I mean, they're back on the march. They want total, absolute New World Order, and they're going to try to get it.
Al Gore's taking a beating.
Yeah, Al Gore's I can't stand that. He's such a hypocritical.
Well, I want to address something, not to cut you guys off, because Doc put something up here that I adamantly disagree with, and I respect Doc tremendously, but He said, however, if a jury does not give a verdict the judge will accept, it is subject to appeal to the Supreme Court, which will have the final say on that case. Unless the Constitution has been amended to amend Article 4, it says no person shall be held, Article 5, or the Fifth Amendment. Yes, a judge can vacate a guilty verdict based on the evidence. However, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. And that process, where is it that says that the jury's verdict cannot be overturned? I'm trying to find that in here. Anyway, I know it's in here. But, you know, and he's right. You can get a redirected verdict from a judge where a judge overturns a guilty verdict. That is true. He can vacate a guilty verdict based on a finding of law. But he cannot overturn a not guilty verdict. That is correct.
Wow.
So, but you know, I have sat in court. I have listened to the adversarial process, the quote-unquote adversarial process, which is nothing more than a damn joke and a ruse. And these jurors don't have a clue.
Right.
They really, truly don't. They're more concerned with Beyonce's halftime show at the Super Bowl and you know, who's going to win American Idol and just damn it.
Yeah, I just, at this stage of the game, I'm just thinking, where do we turn besides, you know, just to our groups, to our family, I'm not a happy camper. I think we're in for a bumpy ride. I don't know what's going to come down first, whether it's the financial collapse or what. But, because, you know, just any excuse to try to grab those guns under martial law, they'll do it.
Well, you remember I had talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show the fact that this time is different, okay, than the last time they tried a gun ban, the last time that
Right. Everybody
went kind of crazy, you know, when Obama got elected and everybody was worried there was going to be a gun ban. And I got this email, and I've been trying to explain to people that it is different because they're using several different tactics. And this is about Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. Anti-gun Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel is taking his demagoguery to a new level by attempting to coerce banks into refusing service to firearms manufacturers. Emanuel is pushing the White House anti-gun agenda and Frankenstein's stated goal when she says we need to dry up the supply of these weapons over time. CBS News in Chicago reported that Emanuel sent a letter, okay, that's kind of backwards grammar, don't know who writes these things, to the CEOs of Bank America, which received TARP bailouts, and to TD Bank, a.k.a. Toronto Dominion Bank. Emanuel was pressuring the two major banks to stop lines of credit to Smith & Wesson and Strum Ruger Company, two of the largest gun makers in the industry. In the letters to bank executives, Emanuel reportedly said he wanted to send a message to gun makers that they must buckle under gun control measures being pushed by the Obama administration, saying, quote, in the past, the gun industry has stood in opposition to these safety measures. They opposed a ban on assault weapons on America's streets, opposed a ban on military-style clips, opposed a criminal background check on all gun purchases, and opposed any effort to crack down on criminal gun traffickers. I guess that excludes the White House, the Department
and
of Defense,
Eric Holder. Yeah.
Homeland Security, and FEMA, you know, trafficking guns across our southern borders. So, I mean, you know, again, it's true that they're trying to strong-arm the banks. I've discussed this, that the banks themselves are getting on the bandwagon and not providing the services for which they've been contracted.
Right.
They're refusing to process credit card payments for gun manufacturers, gun suppliers, anyone that supplies, you know, ammunition or gun parts or anything like that.
So is there any institutions where these manufacturers can go in lieu of B of A or TD or any of these other places?
There are some, I think, some credit unions. But again, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, the line of credit available at some of those places aren't sufficient.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, Doc's posting here, and I've been hearing this as well, that he said one of the big hospitals up where he's at just announced all new employees must undergo blood tests for nicotine. And no
oh
one will
God.
Be hired who test positive for nicotine.
Well, so what's the purpose of that then?
Well, you know, they're trying to clamp down on smokers, but it's a double-edged sword because there's a whole hell of a lot of tax revenue that comes in because of nicotine.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Our local guy here on the radio announced that you may well be refused medical treatment and medical insurance coverage because of tobacco use.
Oh, my God. That's beyond.
Then you would go one step further. You might even have to ask your doctor for a prescription in order for you to smoke.
Well, what happens? Well, wait, let's take it a next step further. What happens if they determine you're obese, your BMI index is too high, and therefore you can't receive any medical treatment for any kind of condition that may be related to having a high BMI, and until you have been put on a restrictive diet and gotten your weight under control?
Does that apply to Krispy Kreme Chrissy?
We could hope so. You know, the point is, boys and girls, pretty obvious that, you know, there aren't many areas of your life that will be left to your own control.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I mean, just knowing history and knowing what these people want to do, my God.
You know exactly where this is headed. You know precisely where this is headed. And what's going to occur, whether it's, you know, in the next year or the next 5 years, who knows, you're going to have such a big outcry. I swear to you, I know with everything that's possible in my being that this healthcare bill was written and designed to force us into a single-payer system.
Right.
Period.
Oh, sure it was.
Right. Yeah. Oh, he said it way back in 08, I believe.
Oh, sure.
The
camel's nose is well under the tent with the Supreme Court ruling that I told you was going to happen, that I told everyone that would listen, including Mr. Ken Cuccinelli in Virginia, that the court is going to rule it's a tax.
Wow, you called it. Good one.
It's the only thing they could rule, Linda.
If they
ruled any other way than what they did, they would have placed in jeopardy the cash cow that is Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yep.
Because
absolutely.
No difference. There is not a damn dime's worth of difference between telling an American that you have to purchase health care and telling them that you have to purchase retirement security.
Right, and they take it out of your check. I just found out that
even though it's not
security. Yeah.
There's nothing secure about it.
They're gonna. You know, I always thought that Medicare was a voluntary thing. Well, apparently it's not anymore. They're gonna suck it right out of my Social Security payment when the time comes around. I have no choice.
As I told everyone that was listening, and I'll say it again, I know people disagree with my take on it, but it's not up to me. Go read Helfring v. Davis.
Okay.
The Supreme Court lays out in no uncertain terms. There's nothing left to chance. You can't misread what they said, what their ruling was in Helfring v. Davis. And the ruling was quite simple. It was, despite the title, old insurance, blah, blah, old age insurance, blah, blah, blah. It's not insurance. It's not a trust fund.
Right.
It is a tax.
Yep.
And this was at the very outset of Social Security. Okay. This was very early on when FDR first passed into law the Social Security bill. The court said, irregardless of the title, irregardless of the trust fund, Congress has yet to set up the trust fund and fund it. All the money comes into the general fund.
Right.
Despite anything you might have been told or might believe to the contrary, it's not true.
Where they can get their little rabbit hands on it, yeah.
They always could. The tax, all tax revenue comes into the general fund, period.
Yep.
Congress, the House of Representatives, must appropriate funds to fund the trust fund for Social Security. Once that money is appropriated, then they can actually fund it. Whether they fund it with actual cash on hand, which we're $16.4 trillion in debt, so they don't actually have any of that.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the chat room because when you're finished, I'm going to go to my meeting tonight. And Vista got a lot of stuff. And thanks so much for taking my call.
I got like 2 minutes left, so thanks for calling in.
God bless.
God bless, guys. But regardless of what form that money's in, whether it's in Treasury notes, which are promises to pay, or whether it's in Federal Reserve notes, which are promises to pay, is irrespective. It's tomato, tomato. It's all a promise to pay, all debt-based. It's all a facade, ladies and gentlemen. You've been sold a bill of goods. Guys, I got less than 2 minutes left. I want to thank Miss Linda and Mr. Robert for calling in. I want to thank all my listeners out there for tuning in to the show, all the folks in the chat room for coming in and taking part in the show and in the conversation in the chat room. You know, without you guys, there'd be no reason for me to be here. It's your support that keeps us coming back. If you get a chance, get over to patriotfamilies.com. That's patriotfamilies with a YS.com. Join up, become a member. It doesn't cost anything. And, you know, we got to stick together, guys. Keep your head up. We got to keep fighting. And the best thing we can do is just say no. Stop complying with all this nonsense. It's going to take us standing up. It's laying down is not going to solve the problem. We got to stand up. God bless you guys. Have a good night.
Good night.